Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road six times this month. We're halfway home. We're going to be at Casas in Dundalk on Thursday. Friday, we will be at Gertrude's at the BMA with Dan Rogers. And then on Monday, finishing things up, because I'm doing a lot of eating this month, with our friends at Planet Fitness, if we start 2026 right, we'll be in the Timonium edition of Planet Fitness. Brand new. They have a rejuvenation bed, which I'm probably going to need after Santa comes down the chimney here, especially given the political play. Johnny O is our guest. I've tried to like drag him over to Costas and get crabs or crab cakes. It's not like you're undraggable, but you've got this gig in DC that kind of requires you to be there, maybe more than being in Edgemere, where I was last week with Calvin Statham playing. I Christmas caroled in your hometown, was in Edgemere last weekend, but you're not in Edgemere much. You're like, look like you're in your office somewhere in Washington, Johnny.
I'm here in DC doing the good work, trying to bring down the cost of living that has gotten way too out of control for hardworking Marylanders and hardworking Americans. But I will say, we can talk shop during our time here, but I really appreciate that you have the Planet Fitness as your back end to all the eating. So
well, I appreciate them as well. Believe me, you know, for something's going to have to give here with all this eggnog that's been going on and the cookies and, you know, all these parties we have had. You're not partying right now. Let's just start at the beginning of Trumpism, and let's start at, as we're here on this, you know, December 19th coming up. Where's the Epstein files? Like, let's talk about that. And, you know, at the back end of all of this, because I feel like that's a nuclear situation that at some point will have to be handled by all of you who vote on such thing and impeach on such thing, and the American people.
Well, look, let's start where I think we can all agree that, like, we should not protect child sexual predators, period. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're your profession is, whether you're the president of the United States or, you know, someone who is a dog catcher, anything in between. That type of behavior is disgusting, and we should be holding people accountable for it. And so what we know is that President Trump is in the files, along with many other famous, powerful people like President Clinton, Bill Gates. Now, what their involvement is in these files is not known. So I'm not ascribing guilt, although what I will say is, if I were the president of the United States and I were truly innocent in some of the serious accusations and some of the behavior of Jeffrey Epstein, I would be volunteering to release those files to clear my name. So it took a discharge petition. It took four courageous Republicans to join the Democrats here in Congress to force a vote on the release. Once that vote happened, it was all but unanimous in both the House and the Senate. The president has said he was going to honor that release. He signed the legislation after fighting it for months alongside Speaker Johnson. But what the president has also done, Nestor, and this is where it gets complicated and problematic, is he's launched a new investigation into Clinton and to other Democrats. And he specifically called out Democrats for their involvement along with Epstein. And under the law, even if we are forcing a release, any documentation related to an open investigation can, in theory, be withheld. And that's my fear here, is that the president's coming up at the end of the time that he has to release all the files. They should be released. The public should be able to see all of what's included, obviously protecting the names and the identity of the survivors here. But I'm worried that President Trump is going to take this excuse that he created to quote unquote investigate people to not release the files that would implicate these powerful, rich men who basically sex traffic young women. And so I know we're not talking about the Epstein files because the vote happened and everyone assumes the files are going to be released, but that hasn't happened yet. And I'm concerned it might not.
Well, there's a level of trust that I don't have with him or anything involving this administration, nor should anyone who is sane. But you're down there in the middle of all of this. And it would seem to me in any normal presidency that led the first 44 presidencies, there would be impeachment papers being drawn up daily. There would be P-tests given daily to his sobriety, his dementia, the things that he wrote about Rob Reiner after his murder this week. Like, just things that would say the only way this is going to change is for that seat and that job and that role to change. Yeah. And I don't know. I vote for you and send you down there and say, Shouldn't y'all get together and do something about this before we're really on fire here, where no one in the world trusts us to begin with?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned impeachment because there actually were articles of impeachment brought forward by Representative Green of Texas against the president again. And because there is a overwhelming Republican majority, we didn't actually vote on those articles because there was a motion to what's called table, which is effectively it takes the proposal to impeach and sets it aside in perpetuity. And so what happened was there was a procedural move where the articles were introduced. The Republican majority moved to set them aside, and they have the numbers to do that. So we weren't even able to have the debate on or consider articles of impeachment. Certainly, any number of concerning things this president has done, whether it's been enriching himself and his family through cryptocurrency schemes, real estate shady dealings by offering to let foreign governments build military bases in exchange for real estate deals for their own family. The pardons that have happened recently. I'd love to talk more about a constitutional amendment I'm planning to introduce that would put a check on some of these pardons that are just egregious and
Well,
terrible.
that's
But
why I brought him up, because I think at heart, it's not every Democrat's job to overthrow the president. It is checks and balances to say, this isn't adding up. This isn't honest. This is not the direction the country should be taking. And certainly not the level of power that he's granted upon himself that's really not unprecedented. It's unlawful, Johnny.
yeah, well, and Congress could claim some of that authority back, could exercise some of those checks and balances, just like we tried to do with the Epstein files. But that requires, at a minimum, all Democrats in Congress, plus at least four Republicans coming together to force an action or to prevent an action. And what
Well,
I can
underneath it
tell
all, you need good faith, right? And there's none of that, right?
Well, not only is there not good faith in this Congress, there's also just a lack of decency. I mean, when people are having conversations, some of the personal attacks and the vitriol that is being viewed between colleagues is really behavior that I, as a parent, would be embarrassed if I saw in my child. And yet you see members of Congress behaving worse than what we teach our children not to. And so the lack of civility and trust and decency and the extreme partisanship, candidly, has created this environment where it's really hard to come together and do anything. Everything has become politicized, everything has become partisan. And I think it's wrong. I think it's absolutely to the detriment of the American people. You think about the resources that the federal government has, the trillions and trillions of dollars that we could put towards the housing challenges, the energy costs that are going up. I mean, it's been almost a year, Nestor. We've been in session in Congress, and we have not taken a single vote to lower costs. If anything, we're seeing costs go up by lack of action or action that drives up costs on electricity, action that lets these insurance premiums that are set to expire at the end of this year, if we don't take action this week, this is our last week in session before the new year. And the average Maryland family is going to pay over $4,000 more a year if they're on the Affordable Care Act. Like over four working class families cannot afford that kind of increase. And now they're going to go without health care entirely. And if you're lucky enough to have insurance through a private marketplace through your employer, you're going to see 10, 15, 20% increases too. Maybe not the $4,000 a year increase on the ACA, but costs are going up, coverage is going down, access is going down, wait times are up. This is a real problem, and this is why Americans are so frustrated with Congress, because we're not coming together to hold this president accountable. We're not coming together to solve, I think, some very basic affordability challenges that Americans are facing out.
Johnny Ushesky is our guest. He is I should say, our, maybe not on some parts of town, but one of our congressmen doing the good work down in Washington, D.C. And for me, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, you said Representative Greene, and I thought, no, the other one. On the other side of the aisle, there's tremendous fear of two things. One, political violence, which I think, should be the fear when the President of the United States is stoking that against Mark Kelly 2 weeks ago. Not to mention just all of it, but the social part of what rancid unthinkable thing he would say or do or fall asleep or the next racist or thing that will come out of his mouth or out of his tweets or all of that really belies where we are with costs, jobs, the fact that there are no jobs reports coming out, all parts of the economy. And the social issues are one thing, and they want to fight over gender. They want to fight over all sorts of things. But then there's the cost of things and what it means to the economy and what the Nazi with the chainsaw was doing 9 months ago and how that's affected our state. It's outrageous, but I think at heart, we're going to vote again soon, right? I've had a bunch of candidates up for your old job at Baltimore County Executive this last couple of weeks. There's going to be an election year again. I can't imagine how unpopular Donald Trump must be in, let's say, Williamsport, Maryland, right now, where they flooded, or even in Sparrows Point, where the bridge isn't getting built.
Well, if you look across the map, if you look across this country, whether it was the gubernatorial elections in Virginia and New Jersey or judicial elections in Pennsylvania, small town elections across the country, Georgia had a statewide non-congressional election. The Democratic candidates were outperforming the prior cycle by 10, 12, 15, 20 points. And that is a huge shift from what happened when President Trump was elected. If those trends hold, if Republicans fail to continue to address the affordability crisis, the healthcare crisis, the cost of living issues that are facing Americans, and I think that is the fundamental issue, then I think you will see Democrats take back the House of Representatives. The Senate will become a lot more narrow, and there will be those checks against what's happening. People are hurting, man. Like, it is tough out there, and shame on leaders for not making this like the thing that we're focused on. But to your point, we're focusing on this. The majority, the Republican majority, is focusing on attacking people who represent less than 1% of the population. Meanwhile, giving out the largest tax cut in American history to the people who make the most money, who represent less than 1% on the other, in an economic. So we're ignoring the millions and millions and the 99% of Americans who are just trying to put food on the table and a roof over their head. But we're transferring wealth from those working class families to give it to the billionaires of the country at a time when we're also cutting health care for millions of Americans through the big ugly bill. We drove up the deficit. Energy prices are up, grocery prices are up, gas prices are up, and there's no legislation out there. There's no action to do anything. The president said the cost of living crisis is a hoax. Let that sink in. President Trump said it's a hoax. It's fake. I don't think anyone who's going to the grocery store tonight would call the cost of living crisis a hoax.
Well, I got shrinkflation in my eggnog ice cream here this time of year. Johnny Oshesky's here. He's down in D.C. trying to make a difference. The presidential part, I mean, again, I go back to corruption and what a crooked, awful human this man is, what a criminal he is, what a repeated, lifelong criminal he is. But to think he is selling presidential pardons for millions of dollars to his kids through third parties, to think that he is allowing Russian and Saudi mobsters to buy citizenship into our country with money, and only allowing people in who look like you and not look like me, no offense. These things that are going on really strikes to the heart of your presidential pardons and the inside. And then there's people in your seat making tons of money. Every time I bring Nancy Pelosi's name up to, a Republican, they start chewing. I hope you're not getting wealthy yet. I mean, we'll find out. But like all of you were there, right? But there is this hokey pokey going on that feels like y'all are protecting y'all, meaning Congress, meaning across the aisle. Everybody's trying to keep their job. And that speaks to Marjorie Taylor Greene. But then there's the presidential pardons, which speaks to the heart of We got a corrupt guy sitting at the heart of all of this, shaking hands with Putin
Yeah.
and making nice with Saudi kings and getting fake medals from the most corrupt sports organization on earth. This is all in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, pick a day, it's a new headline. And I'll say to your first point, Congress has to get its own act in order too. I mean, Congress as an institution is not pure in all of this. I mean, we need to ban stock trading by members of Congress. I do not buy and sell individual stocks because I think it's wrong. I don't think that members of Congress should be able to benefit from the top secret, oftentimes information, certainly the insider information that we get as a result of our job functions. And far too many members have stock portfolios and stock sales, Democrats and Republicans, who vastly outperform. Not a little bit. We're talking like double and triple and quadruple what the market does. And whether or not that's happenstance, it doesn't matter. We just shouldn't do it. Like if we want to put our money in an index fund that's managed by somebody else, like every other American, fine.
I remember when Jimmy Carter put the peanut farm into trust, right?
It's just, yeah. I mean, but like to your point, like the president and his family are becoming billionaires off of this cryptocurrency, selling dinners at the White House, accepting private jets. I mean, it's all wrong, and it's against the emoluments clause, and it's a very fancy part of the Constitution. Congress has no excuse. And then you have the president pardoning people like this Honduran president, Hernandez, who is a convicted drug kingpin. He put 400 tons of cocaine into America. That's over 4 billion doses. He was convicted and sentenced to over 40 years in jail, fined millions of dollars. And then early into that sentence, Trump just gives him a blanket pardon. And so this is like really, it boggles the mind, frankly, about the justice system entirely. And it proves that like you can get out of jail free card if you're wealthy or well connected or the president likes you. So it's why just this week I announced I'm going to be putting in a constitutional amendment. Crazy that I'm saying this, that like our system is so broken that we have to change these things. But the American government teacher in me just couldn't stand by and watch these kinds of pardons happen. But putting forward a constitutional amendment that would allow Congress to review presidential pardons and overturn them with a two-thirds vote. So it's a very high standard. But if we have these kinds of egregious giveaways from Trump, and look, let's be clear, Democrats have abused the pardon and clemency power as well. But it's time to change the way that we operate here in DC, have some real checks and balances. And in the process, we should also clean up our own act and do things like ban stock trading by members of Congress.
Johnny Olszewski's our guest. He is our congressman. He wanted to have crab cakes and crab imperial and feel like the king over Casas with me, but job's busy, so he's on the Zoom here. Hope we get together in the new year at some point. Hope to see you around town. By the way, I was supposed to light the tree down at Trade Point Atlantic with Aaron Tamarkio, and it was too cold and snowy that night, so I'm still waiting to light the Charlie Brown
Oh
tree down in my dad's homeland at Sparrows Point.
no. I got to get you back.
Speaking of Sparrows Point, it's not a time I get on the beltway up here. I live in Towson now where it's not a cluster. And I know it's a cluster because of the bridge. I never
Yeah.
would have known that in all of my life since the bridge has been there 50 years. I'm like, who uses the bridge? Oh, all these people. And you and I have talked about that. The bridge, federal money, what this administration means. I mean, 1 minute he's on our football field waving, doing a papal wave for the Army Navy game. The next minute he's denouncing Baltimore, not sending money to us. The bridge is near and dear to your heart. It's out your
Yeah.
window. What do you know about it? And, I would have said the minute he was elected last year that this was going to be problematic.
So the good news is 100% federal funding for the bridge is law. It is codified. It is not optional appropriation. And so on that score, it's good news. What I will say is that first of all, you experience that traffic because that's 35,000 daily commuters that you are not having cross the bridge, and they're going through the city, they're going north, they're going around the beltway the other way. That's why the traffic is so bad. So this is probably one of the most important infrastructure projects, not just for Maryland, but for the Mid-Atlantic and our country. And what's concerning though, so it is law, But what's concerning is that President Trump has threatened to cancel the funding. Now, he can't cancel it unilaterally, fortunately, but given his assault on Democratic-led states, I worry that in this time where in national tragedy we always come together, that he might try to have these Republican majorities change the law. It's very unlikely that that will be successful. I've been talking to my colleagues. I've been talking about the importance of the bridge. I have Democrats and Republicans alike who understand that. But the president has explicitly threatened funding for the Key Bridge. His secretary, Sean Duffy, has sent letters to the governor questioning the time it's going to take, the cost of the bridge. And those are valid questions to ask. And I think we should move with all urgency to get this bridge built as quickly as possible and as cost efficiently as possible. But we shouldn't politicize it, right? This is too important a project to make it political. Let's come together, figure out how to get the bridge rebuilt so that we can take the traffic off of your streets and your commutes and put it back where it belongs on the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
I know there's some Republicans who drive from Sparrows Point to Pasadena. I've met them. They need the
Oh, for
bridge too.
sure. Yeah, I mean, look, and that's the thing is that these kinds of infrastructure projects in particular don't know partisan boundaries. I mean, that was a lesson of my time as Baltimore County executive was schools don't have party affiliation. Potholes don't have party affiliations. Parks don't have party affiliations. And I try to bring that lesson here to DC and just find ways forward, trying not compromising our values, but just being a decent person and trying to find those places of common ground where we can move together. I have a friend that I've made, a guy named Jeff Hurd out of Colorado, decent guy. Our politics are different, but we realized that like, we should just be able to talk. And so he and I had we rented a space and we had pizza and beer and we watched Monday Night Football with a small group of bipartisan legislators. And you would have thought that we did something so innovative, like, oh my gosh, that's the best I'm like, no, that's just being a person. That's just called being decent. And so but that's how low the bar is currently in terms of even talking to members of the other party. And it's something that's going to take time to change, but it's something I'm committed to trying to change.
All right, take off your congressman hat and be former Baltimore County Executive Johnny O, and be citizen Johnny O, and the county. And I spent an hour with Nick Stewart the other day. I spent an hour with this Patoka. I'm going to spend an hour on the other side of the aisle with Republican candidates. I've had Pat on. I'm talking to everybody. I'll have Julian on back on again as well. Everybody running. I have not had your successor on at all. That's been its own thing with the inspector general. Can you speak to any of this, or do you even, I mean, you have to care to speak to it. You're still a resident, but I live here. I vote here. I work here. I school here. I do everything here. I'm not here to, pat you on the back, but I'm here to say it's not the way it was when you were here running it. There's not a level of confidence that I have, and that's been brought out in the candidates that I've spoken to the last couple of weeks. I'm very disappointed in sort of the trajectory of things around here, and certainly the Inspector General thing was messy.
So, I mean, I'm really proud of what we did when I was county executive, and I'm glad that the expectation is so high. That's where residents of the county should have it. I mean, we made the county government open, accessible, transparent, whether it was creating the Office of the Inspector General, putting it into our county charter, making the budget town halls happen for the first time in the county's history, really engaging and bringing the public into the budget process. We did environmental efforts, we did housing efforts, we did transportation efforts. We put historic funding into schools and parks and improving our roadways, just things that really have been transformative in really positive
I
ways.
had a business owner in Halethorpe said you did a nice job during COVID the last week. So I was over at Honey's in Halethorpe, just a block into the county. I was almost in the city over there. And
Well,
they're like, Johnny, oh, we had a sign out. COVID, we did okay during COVID. He helped, he kept us safe. And that's what somebody said to me last week. So I
And
think
that
I
was, and
passed that
that's
along
that,
to you.
and that's, and I appreciate that feedback. And for us, it was always the balance of like, how do we keep people safe, but also support
I
businesses and
think I
towns?
had you on every 6 weeks during that because the tides were changing all the time during that thing. At least we didn't inject any bleach, Johnny.
The president of the United States did also. I mean, that was term one. There have been quite a few things that have happened since then
Let's
in
vote
term
for him
two. But
again.
look, I'll say this, like, as you're, and I think it's great that you're having these candidates on for county executive. I hope that as people are really looking at these candidates, and I think we have some great candidates out there, that the expectation is that we continue that level of excellence, that level of public transparency, trust, and engagement to really sort of take our county to the next level. And we everything from like bringing back bulk trash pickup and the small things to the big things, we did. But if you just like anything in life, if you stand still, you're either growing or you're dying.
Well,
You know, you've
that's the
got.
point. Every candidate I've talked to said that the county's shrinking from a human standpoint because of cost and housing and all of that. That's topic one with all the candidates.
Yeah, I mean, and that's true. That's just true. I mean, if you don't continue the momentum around schools and housing and recreation, then people are going to look for alternatives because there's nothing that forces people to live in a county or a city. And we are blessed that our region is amazing. The county has some wonderful people working for it. And so having leadership moving into the next 8 years into that role is going to be critical. And so again, I just applaud you for bringing in all of these candidates to sort of share that vision and hopefully have people land on someone who wants to build on what we did during our tenure in that role.
I think it's the hardest question to ask you down there is where do you feel your progress, man? Because as a citizen, I don't feel your progress. And as a sort of a quasi media friend, I feel your frustration. Do you feel like you get anything done down there?
I
That
mean,
and that's hard to ask you that because you're trying to
yeah,
get voted
no.
again.
I mean, it's incremental, right? And so I'd say as an institution, we're sliding backwards. We're sliding backwards because Congress is not addressing the cost of living. Congress has not made sure that the Epstein files are released. Congress is not, meeting the needs of everyday Americans. And so writ large, yeah, I think it's a problem. It's why, while I will work with Republicans, I think it is important that Democrats take over in the midterms. It's why I am campaigning so hard, not just for myself, but for others, so that we can sort of turn that around. But while I'm here, I have a responsibility to try to do what I can where I can. And so we've passed the port security bill, bipartisan bill with Bill Huizenga out of Michigan. I passed a workforce training and apprenticeship bill out of small business, working with Roger Williams, the Republican chairman there. I'm doing these like meet and greets and time with people like Jeff Hurd, just trying to make our dialogue more decent. I can disagree on policy, and I do strongly with my Republican colleagues. I think the deficit increase, I think the cutting off of health care, I think health care increases, the cost of living increases are wrong, but they're still people, and I'm going to treat them decently, at least the people with whom I serve. And so I think that's the balance, is like trying to move forward in a way that is on a human level decent and right, but also understanding how these policies are harming and hurting the people I represent in Maryland, but also Americans across this country, and pushing for things to be different.
Well, on a human level, I'm going to be at Costas in Dundalk this week, a place that I usually run into you. I think I might run into you again. We're going to have Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock with us in Dundalk. Johnny O might be dropping by as well. He is our city congressman on the east side of town doing the work down in D.C. Hey, happy holidays to you and
Thank
your
you.
family. And I know these are perilous times in America on a day-by-day basis. Stay strong down there and keep standing up for what the right thing. You know, that's all
I
I can say.
appreciate that. Happy holidays to you. And I'll end with this, Nestor. And it's on my whiteboard actually here in DC. It's been there for several months now, and it's very simple. In all things, it is better to hope than it is to despair. And I still believe in the good and decency of the American people. Why I'm here, why I'm honored to do it. And I wish you and yours and everybody out there very happy holiday.
Yeah, you know, I have hope and despair on my away and towards goals chart over here, my Robbins chart. So I'm gonna have to take a picture of that and put it up. Johnny O is our congressman here. He is down in D.C. Trying to do the good work down there on the ACA and trying to hold the president in line, which we used to have a Supreme Court that did that. We're gonna be out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I will have the candy cane cash tickets, which are going to smell like peppermints. I'll smell like Santa did at East Point Mall back before the Penguins came. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and also our friends at GBMC. A little reminder during the holidays, talk about your medical situation with people. I had a colonoscopy a couple weeks ago, precancerous polyps. I was the rockhead that didn't get in there, and it almost cost me dearly, but I'm glad that I did get in there. So talk to your relatives about their health and their money and the important things and how much you love them during the holidays. I am Nestor. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.